Fourth and 15 from New England's 43. Trips to the wide side left. One to the right. Low snap for Bortles. Backs Harrison. Up. Pressured by Harrison. Bortles runs up and throws deep downfield. And the throw is knocked away by Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore leaving his feet. Reaching out with his right hand. And swatting down a pass intended for D.D. Westbrook.
Play the game.
This week's Player to Do Their Job brought to you by ZipRecruiter, where 80% of employers who post a job get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Try it for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/playbook. That's ZipRecruiter.com/playbook. And that player to do their job, Stephon Gilmore, with a big play at the end of the AFC Championship game. And when you make a big, memorable play like that at the end of a game, it tends to have people forget some of the other problems that Stephon Gilmore had earlier in the year. But Stephon Gilmore playing well right now, Greg Bedard, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say for, I don't know, past couple months, he's played well. I mean, look, has it been perfect? No. I mean, he still has, there are still coverage busts in just about every game that he's had. And you worry a little bit about that today because the Eagles will do some funky things. They'll do some unscouted looks. The Patriots will have to be right in the back end. And if they're not, they're going to get exposed. But, you know, I would say 90% of the time, Gilmore's been really good the past couple months.
Now, on the other side of the field, in Malcolm Butler, this week was talking about how he'd like to remain in New England. What's going to be, first of all, let's start with today. What to expect from Malcolm Butler in this game, given the way that he has played as of late. I talked to Deion Sanders earlier this week, and Deion said in watching the AFC Championship game, he thought he was so bad in coverage that that's why the Patriots elected to use him to blitz, because he was the corner they chose because he was so bad in that game. That was his opinion on it. I think a lot of people thought he didn't have a good game. What should we expect from him tonight? What do we expect for his future?
I don't know. I mean,
and are they tied together?
Well, no. I mean, I have a hard time seeing, unless there's no market for Malcolm Butler, him being back in New England next
year.
Yeah,
I would agree.
I mean, they already spent their money at cornerback with Stephon Gilmore, and I expect them next year to it's going to be Gilmore, Rowe, and probably Jonathan Jones in the slot, and I'm fine with that group. And as far as Butler today, I mean, look, we've seen it all year from basically the first week of the season. He's looking to get paid. He's looking to make plays. There's not a bigger stage in the world. We've seen guys in the past get paid off of just Super Bowls. And, you know, I'm sure Malcolm Butler's going to try that. But the Eagles know that. They're very astute in their scouting, and I'm sure they're going to go after him.
How concerned should the Patriots be and Patriots fans be about the matchup and the mismatches the Eagles can create with the Patriots linebacking corps?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not overly concerned. Most of that stuff has to do with the Eagles doing some of their read option stuff where they get the line going one way and then the play is back the other. That's what you have to look out for. But, I mean, for me, a lot of that stuff is scripted for the tight ends. And if Patrick Chung can take care of Zach Ertz, you know, they have some decent other backup tight ends that I'm sure some of the linebackers are going to have to be worried about. But that's not a huge concern of mine. I mean, I would say mostly my biggest concern about the Patriots defense in this game is not only the offensive line, but Aguilar versus Rowe in the slot, if that's what they decide to do. Because to me, that's a mismatch in favor of the Eagles. It's not the type of player that Rowe deals with well, those kind of shifty, smaller inside guys.
I mean, could they move Butler in there? Yeah, I would think it would be Butler and then put Rowe on Torrey Smith, who you would know more than I would looking at the film, but Torrey Smith at least has the reputation of being mainly a one-trick pony.
He is. He's a straight-line home run hitter down the field. There's not much you have to worry about with him. But, you know, if you get Butler and Aguilar, then all of a sudden it's even more of the, all right, you know, is he looking into the backfield? Is he doing this? I mean, I would have concern with that. But I have a feeling that the Eagles, having the intelligence that they do with Rowe, having him been on the team, trading him away, I'm sure he's going to be a target somehow.
We're talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. He's with us here in the broadcast booth, Super Bowl 52. What, to you, is the biggest deciding factor in how this game goes?
The thing I'm going to be looking most at is the Patriots' offensive play count. If they get into – if they're stuck in the 50s, that's trouble, and the Eagles are playing the game on their terms. If all of a sudden we get to halftime and the Patriots are – you know, upper 30s, in the 40s, that means that the Patriots are playing the game on their term. They're probably wearing down the Eagles, and then it's going to pay off later in the game. So that's To me, that's the biggest thing.
So is this a game then to go up-tempo, to try and wear the Eagles down, slow down those pass rushers? That's been the key. And you look at the last couple of Super Bowls against Seattle and against Atlanta, those pass rushers slowed down in the fourth quarter. And even in the AFC Championship game 2 weeks ago, I remember charting it. You know, they had 36 offensive plays they had run after three quarters. They ran 25 in the fourth quarter. It seemed to make a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think they will go up-tempo. I wasn't sure about the uniqueness of this game where, you know, there's a lot of guys for the newcomers. There's a big adrenaline rush at the beginning, so you worry about getting too tired. But from talking with the Patriots coaches over the course of the week, they talked about more about the length of the timeouts. So they're going to have time to recuperate. So I expect them to go no huddle. The Eagles have had a ton of problem with that. The Giants in Week 15 just kept going up and down the field over 500 yards. The Vikings used no huddle to go right down the field in the first possession of the NFC Championship game. That's right up the Patriots' alley, and I think that's the kryptonite for this Eagles defensive line.
Going to play fast out of the gate, but there's also, if you're not converting, if you're not picking up first downs, then it's really doesn't matter.
Well, I think that's where having Nick Foles on the other side makes you feel a little bit more comfortable about that because – you know, I don't think the Patriots feel that he's going to go up and down the field on them. It's not like they're facing, you know, Peyton Manning or somebody like that. I think that it's Foles allows them to feel a little bit more comfortable about going quick. And, you know, the big thing is, how are the Eagles going to play in the secondary against them? Are they going to – normally they're a zone team. They're a cover three. They give those short underneath passes. That's what they normally do. I've heard this week that they're going to play man. I mean, that's another big deciding in this game.
Well, that's interesting because I talked to Zach Berman of the Philadelphia Inquirer. I said, what's the weakness of this Eagles defense? He said the cornerback.
Yes.
So, you know, Jalen Mills can make some – Jalen Mills is one of those guys. He'll make plays for both teams.
You know, it's one of these debates, right, when you're talking about this is, do you do what you've done all year long or do you do what's the best matchup? The best matchup and the best way to do it is if you have the personnel is to man up on the Patriots and get after the quarterback, and that would be really good for your team. But that's not what the Eagles have done all year.
But what's interesting about that, I would say to you guys, is that we talk a lot of times about pass rush helps coverage. That could be coverage that helps pass rush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where if Brady sees, oh, this is man, this is not an easy, like, this is, I've got to make sure this guy got separation.
That extra half second.
That extra half second, the rush gets there. So it could be the inverse, that by playing man, even though Philly's not really good at it, it helps maximize their strength in that front seven, and it buys that extra beat for those guys to get there and get to Brady.
I actually think that Mills is their best cornerback. I think Patrick Robinson, the slot guy, is really good. To me, Ronald Darby is the guy to go after. He has had trouble with double moves. I'm looking for a couple big plays to Brandon Cooks, a couple hitches that go down. My outside MVP candidate in this game is Brandon Cooks.
Real quick for you, because I know you talked to him this week, Dante Scarnecchia, any feel, any vibe on whether he plans to return?
It sounds like he does, but, you know, he says he's going year to year. Normally, last year he was definitive. I'll be back. This year he's not, and there are some other rumblings about the staff that there could be, you know, more of a max exodus, including Ivan Fears, but we'll have to see.
All right, Greg, appreciate the time, not only today, but all year long. We'll talk to you postgame.
Yep, absolutely.
Greg Bedard will join us after the game as well, after this one is complete in Super Bowl 52 between the Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles as we get closer and closer to kickoff here in Minneapolis. Coming up next, we'll be talking with Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak as we set the scene from U.S. Bank Stadium. It's next on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network.